if you would, and open your Bibles to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. I had Brother Tim read that portion in Luke, and it's wonderful how he brought out about the contrast between the riches of this world and spiritual riches, because that's what we'll be speaking on this morning. And the name of the message is called The Wealthy Family. The Wealthy Family. Now, if we read this psalm that we're going to look at, we'll look at a few verses in it. If we read this psalm with an eye to David's Lord, of whom David was a type, and to whom he ministered as a prophet, we must turn to the evangelist and behold the deliverance of Christ from the powers of darkness at His resurrection. Our Lord was delivered from the powers of darkness at His resurrection. And if we read this psalm as applicable to every true believer in Christ, in all our struggles and our deliverances from sin, and our final triumph over death and the grave, we must still consider the believer in Christ. Still consider the believer in Christ as only conquering in His name. Only conquering in His name. And only triumphing in His salvation. In and through Him alone. So let us look, therefore, at this psalm with a steady eye upon our Savior. A steady eye upon Christ. We know that the law and the prophets, they testify of Him. Of Christ. And it is only in Him that we who are poor, bankrupt sinners, are made rich. Only in Christ. Only in Christ. And this is true for every single believer in Christ. We are rich spiritually in Him. In Him alone. In ourselves, again, we're bankrupt. Poverty-stricken sinners. With no hope in ourselves. But oh, in Christ, the riches that we have in Him. That we have in Him. Look at Psalm 34, verse 1, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. God's people give praise to our God. We give praise to our God. We give praise to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has saved us from our sins. And all the saints, both Old Testament and New, all the elect of God, they praise and worship Christ. The Old Testament saints were looking to Christ. Looking to Him. We look back to what He's done, and now we still look to Him, don't we? But now He's in glory. He's our risen Savior. He's ascended. And we're still looking to Him. And beloved, we will spend a lifetime looking to Him, and then when we get to glory, our faith will be sight. Our faith will be sight. We can't see Him right now, but we hope in Him and we believe in Him. We trust in Him. We rest in Him. But one day, we'll see Him face to face. And oh, what a day. And what comfort, what a day that'll be. And what comfort that can bring us for our loved ones who died in Christ. Or our friends who died in Christ. We had fellow soldiers here. Fellow believers who've been promoted up to glory. They're beholding Him right now. Face to face. And I'll tell you what, they are praising Him with perfect praise. Perfect praise. Scripture says this in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're to give thanks. And who do we give thanks to? We give thanks to God through Christ. Who is God? God incarnate in the flesh. Look at verse 2. It says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. A lot of people like to boast. Religion, and you all know I came out of that, and you who came out of religion, you remember we used to boast in what we did, didn't we? Right? We used to boast in what the things that we've done. Oh, I prayed a prayer. I walked an aisle. I gave my heart to Jesus. How can a dead man do anything? Boasted in ourselves, what we did. Salvation's of the Lord. He must save us. He must bring us. He must regenerate us. He must do it all. And then who do we make our boast in? Who do God's people boast in? Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And this is who the preacher boasts in. We boast in Christ. Look at who He is. Look at what He's done for His people. So God's people, my soul, and David says here, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Jehovah, the self-existent one in the Hebrew. And look at this, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Those who are of a humble and contrite spirit, right? We're proud, proud by nature. Oh, we're proud sinners by nature. But what does God do to the believer? He humbles us. He makes us contrite. Oh, and the humble are glad, aren't they? You who believe, you who are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, are you not glad that Christ is your Savior? Oh my, does your soul not just rejoice in who He is? My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So again, the believer in Christ does not boast in man or find our confidence in man or in any supposed works of righteousness which we supposedly do or men do. We know that our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. But the believer boasts in the Lord Jesus Christ. We boast in what He's done. He went to Calvary's cross and died my substitute upon the cross. He shed His blood for the remission of my sins so that God's law and justice would be satisfied. He did it all. I'm simply a receiver of this marvelous grace. This mercy which I have received is all through Him. And I am a sinner saved by grace. I'm still a sinner, but I'm a saved sinner. And every one of God's people say, yes, that's me. That's me. I'm a saved sinner, and I can only boast in Christ. I can only boast in what He's done. He's our wisdom. He's our strength. He's our righteousness. He's our justification before God. And in Christ, we are so rich, beloved. We are so rich. Rich in His righteousness. Oh, and His redemption, which has purchased the souls of all His people when He shed His blood on Calvary's cross. Oh, His work! How rich is His work! And how rich is His salvation. And look at verse 3. The psalmist goes on and writes, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, you who believe, magnify Him with me. Come, rejoice. Rejoice. Magnify the Lord. Praise His mighty name for what He's done. And let us exalt His name together. So the psalmist invites those of a humble and contrite spirit, those who have been taught of God, regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, born again, to rejoice at the goodness of God to them in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's by God's mercy. By God's mercy. So let us join together with David and describe the greatness of who Christ is. Let us magnify who He is, beloved. In our hearts, let us praise Him for His wonderful works. Oh, and He cannot be made great by men. He can only be declared how great He is. He can only be declared how great He is. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Let us exalt His greatness, beloved. Let us praise Him. Let us proclaim Him to be the Most High. Let us proclaim His glorious perfections. He's absolute holiness. He's His majesty, His sovereign rule. Let us proclaim and magnify His wondrous works, both in providence and in redemption, especially when we who believe know what we were saved from. Know who it was who saved us. Let us magnify and exalt the wondrous work of redemption of Christ in my life. Oh my, my beloved. Look at verses 4 to 7. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. This angel of Jehovah, the angel of the Lord, is none but Christ, beloved. It's none but Christ, the angel of the covenant. Oh, He is the mediator between Jehovah, between God and His people. He is the one who encamps round about us. Remember, we looked at Him as our shield and He encompasses us. He's an all-encompassing shield. He encamps around His people. Oh my, and Christ delivers His people. He delivers His people. Just like He delivered Daniel in the lion's den. My goodness. And how many times can we look back in our lives? And at the time we had no idea. Before we were saved and after we were saved. And He preserved us and kept us. Oh my. And He will continue to deliver His people all the time that they are upon this earth. Turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel 21. 1 Samuel 21. Now, at the beginning of this psalm, it refers to how the Lord has delivered David. It said, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. This is spoken of over in 1 Samuel 21. And how the Lord has delivered David from Abimelech and Achish, who is the Philistine king of Gath. And David, no doubt, prayed for deliverance. He no doubt prayed for deliverance. Because our text says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And they looked unto Him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Look at 1 Samuel 21, verse 1. Then came David to Nob, to Abimelech, the priest. And Abimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Abimelech, the priest, the king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereby I send thee and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest said to David, and the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hollowed bread, if the young man have kept themselves, at least from woman. And David answered the priest and said unto them, of truth, woman have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave them hollowed bread, for there was no bread there, but the saw bread that was taken from before the Lord, and to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. That's an interesting statement right there. Detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Abimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither bought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take it, take it. For there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. Now there's a sermon right there. There is none like that. That's Christ. There's none like Christ. But look at it. Now we see David flees to Gath. Look at verse 10. It says here, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So no doubt David prayed to God during that time, because we see it in our text in the psalm. And this is the time that that's spoken of. This is the time that psalm is spoken of right here. And look at this. And he changed his behavior before them, and framed himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. He's doing some acting. He's acting like a madman. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, see ye, this man is mad. Wherefore have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that ye have bought this fellow to play the madman in my presence till this fellow come into my house? And then look at verse 1 of chapter 22. David had therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. So we see that the Lord protected David. He heard his prayer and he delivered him. He delivered him from that king. That king could have slayed him, but the Lord delivered him. And David is delivered from the hands of his enemy by our great God and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. He preserved him in the court of Achish. It was the Lord who preserved him from being harmed there. And it was the Lord who brought him to safety with his men. And there is no doubt that here in the text, he speaks of his own experience at that time. Now think about what our Lord went through. Think about what he went through. Think about the attacks that he went through. Think about how he was despised and hated of men. Think about how all hell was against him. And he was delivered. He was delivered. What a picture. We see a beautiful representation of the fullness and the suitableness and the completeness and the all-sufficiency of our God in Christ to answer all the needs and all the wants of His people. Oh, He encompasses us, beloved. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. And if you're going through a situation and you feel despair, beloved, you who are the beloved of God, look back at what the Lord's delivered you from. And know that He will take you safely through whatever you're going through. And He does. And He proves it constantly, over and over and over. How quickly we forget. How quickly we forget. But oh, we just need to look back at how the Lord's delivered us. Constantly. Constantly. Look at verses 8. Starting in verse 8, the Scripture declares, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. If you're trusting in Christ, you are blessed. You are blessed beyond comprehension. Beyond comprehension. Blessed is that man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. And there's our text. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. To the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Oh my. So let us consider verse 9 a little more in depth. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Now they that are wealthy in this world are actually and who do not have Christ, although they are wealthy in the world's goods, they are poor and bankrupt. Poor and bankrupt. They are not truly wealthy who appear to be so. Those who boast in their wealth. The lost sinner is most poor. He has no God to comfort him. He has no Savior to deliver him. He has no guide to lead him. He has no advocate to plead for him. He has no peace. No peace to support him through trials and tribulations. And he has no title to heaven to encourage him through this journey in this world. But the believer, we have confidence and comfort in death, don't we? Because our confidence and our comfort is in Christ. And also, we have a wedding garment to appear before our great God. The righteousness of Christ. The perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. And we have a home. Glory, where we will spend eternity with our Savior. Think upon this. The richest man in the world will soon have all his riches exhausted. He can't take any of it with him when he dies. And he may find himself in a wretched and miserable state, poor, blind, and naked. If he passes from this world without Christ, he will find himself poor, blind, and naked, standing in the presence of the Almighty God. Standing in his own self-righteousness, clothed in his own self-righteousness. Now, on this world, he may have the appearance of prosperity, but in reality, he is bankrupt. Bankrupt. True riches belong to another family. Look at our text. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. We are rich in spiritual blessings in Christ. The Scriptures declare this. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places in Christ. It's all our riches are in Him. And they're not the riches of this world. We know that anything we have, the Lord's given us. And we use it for His glory. For His glory. My. So we can't boast in anything. But my goodness, what riches the believer has. And think of how much is laid up for us in heaven. God is for His people. God is for His people. And His eye is ever upon us. Think of that. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And we know we're sinners. But He said, I'll never leave you. Never. No matter what the social standing of a child of God, they are far richer than the most richest person in the world. Far richer. My goodness. And true riches belong to the family of God in and through Christ alone. That's all. That's all. We may struggle in this world. We may go through different things. But we are the most richest people in the world. My goodness. It's wonderful. And though God's people may appear poor and may appear to be in want all the time, they're really rich. Really rich. Because God has provided all they need in Christ. All that a sinner needs is found in Christ. I was talking with Brother Donnie Bell about that this week. Everything we need is in Christ. Everything. All our wants and desires are fulfilled in Him. All that we... Now, there's some wants and desires that aren't good for us. But everything we need, all that a sinner needs, and I speak to you here who do not know Christ, and I pray the Holy Spirit will move in your life, all that a sinner needs is found in Christ alone. Is found in, and we who are redeemed say, Amen. We know that. The Lord has taught us that. Oh my. All that a sinner needs is found in Christ. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And then put your finger in Colossians chapter 1. Romans chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 1. What do I need to stand before God? Well, I need to be justified. And I live in a... Before I was saved, I had no peace. But now I have a peace that passes all understanding. And think of this. No matter what comes, God's people have a peace, don't we? We see world events going on. We still have a peace. Because our hope and our rest is in our sovereign God. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith... We know faith's a gift from God, don't we? It's not something we can muster up. But look at that. Being justified by faith. So the believer has justification before God. He's counted blameless. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man longs for peace in this world. The believer says, I have peace with God through Christ. I'm justified. I can stand in the presence of God. And again, see, our boast isn't in religion. Our boast was in our own self-righteousness and what we were doing. The grace believer, the person who's born again, says, the only reason I can stand in front of Christ, in front of God, is because of what Christ has done for me. I boast in Him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, I am the door. No other way. That means Buddhism is wrong. That means Hinduism is wrong. That means Islam is wrong. That means Mary worship is wrong. There is only salvation in Christ, in Him alone. Through Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. But look at this. By whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. Who do we stand in, beloved? Christ. In Christ alone. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's my hope, beloved. Christ. I ask you, who do not know Christ, what's your hope? I know you're hoping in something. Because everyone has a hope in something, whether it be themselves. The believer's hope is in Christ. Some people hope in their riches. Some people hope in their strength. Some people hope in their youth. Some people hope in their standing. Some people hope in who they are. The believer says, I hope in Christ. I hope in Christ alone. Oh, He's the one sure hope. The one sure hope. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We know that Christ is God incarnate in the flesh, and that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ. Look at this wonderful portion of Scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 23. And Christ Himself became a man, and went to Calvary's cross and died as the substitute for His people. Look at this in Colossians 1, verses 19 to 23. For it pleased the Father that in Him, being Christ, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace, how do we have peace? Look at this. And having made peace through the blood of His cross. I have peace with God because Christ shed blood. That's the only reason. I can't have peace with God by my works. But I have peace with God through Christ, beloved, and praise His name. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, so it's by His works, not by ours, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, that's our natural state right there. Enemies in our mind by wicked works, by our sins. That's us. That's how we come into this world. And I know, because I know how I used to think about Christ before the Lord saved me. I lived the first quarter of my life pleasing the flesh. My goodness. Actually, almost the first half. Over half. When I was around 33, the Lord started to reveal Himself to me. But I lived for myself all before that. And I know what this means. Although I didn't profess to hate God, yet my works said that. I did not know Him. I had a God in my imagination whom I cooked up, but I had never read the Scriptures. How do you know who God is? Unless you look at the Scriptures and He reveals Himself to us. My goodness, and how many people out there have cooked up a God of their imagination, not even knowing what the Scriptures say about who God is. And when He reveals Himself, and He reveals Himself in His redemptive work and what He's done for His people. And when we're regenerated by the Holy Spirit and born again, we rejoice, beloved. We rejoice in who He is. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, that's our sins. Yet now hath He, look at this, reconciled. God's people are reconciled. Reconciled. in the body of His flesh. And we need to be reconciled because we were enemies with God. He's loved His people from eternity with an everlasting love. But in our natural state and in our minds, we didn't want nothing to do with... We used to say like the Israelites, I'll not have this man rule over us. That's what we used to say. By our works. In the body of the flesh through His death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. We could just sit there. God's people, through Christ and His sacrifice, will one day be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. But right now, the believer is clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. And when God looks upon us, He sees Christ. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't. That's why He says your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. Why? Because they've been bought and paid for. They're gone. The penalty has been paid for. And what great joy this brings the believer, who's a sinner still, right? Holy and unblameable and unreprovable. No one can find fault with Him in His sight. And it's all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says if you continue in the faith, and we know that God's people, those who are truly born again, we know from Jude, that He will keep us. And He will one day present us, faultless. It says if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, who's the root and foundation of our salvation? Christ. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Again, our hope is in Christ. We're not hoping in ourselves anymore. We hope in Christ, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So the family of God have a joyful hope, beloved. And we are rich beyond words. And we have one object, one hope, Christ in Him alone. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1. That being justified by His grace, the opposite of what man thinks. Man thinks they're justified by their works. Being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see how hope keeps being bought up. And that's in Titus 3:7. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. God's people, His family, are assured of strength equal to their day and given grace to make it through all our trials and troubles. And in this verse, knowing that, knowing our sovereign God, knowing that He delivers us, knowing that He encompasses us round about. Look at this verse. It's a verse we're familiar with, but if we keep in mind that it's the Lord who encompasses us, look at this. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, most people stop there. But look what the verse says. To them who are called according to His purpose. That's the electing grace of God in Christ Jesus' blood. My. So God's people are content with God's wise and holy appointments in our lives. Because that's what our trials and tribulations are. They're all ordered by our great God, beloved. And we are content. And we ask Him to give us grace and strength when we go through these times. We are to comply without protest to the will of God. And we are often filled with joy, which flows from His presence during times of trouble, in times of temptations, in times of tribulation. The believer cries out with Job. He cries out this, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know He does. I know He does. Do you? Is He your Redeemer? Oh, I pray that God would make it so, if He's not. Oh. Even though we cannot see Him, we know He lives. We know He makes intercession for us with the Father. And what do? We await our promotion, don't we? We await our promotion. And one day we'll be in his presence. Oh my, turn if you would to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I'll read Psalm 23:4, which says this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Christ is our support, beloved. He's our sure support in death and in life. And God's people anticipate heaven as their portion forever. Look at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. What shall we then say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin, and we are dead to sin in Christ, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in likeness of His death, we died with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, Paul wrote. For if we be planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. We are free, beloved. And we saw that in our study this morning in Sunday school, right? We go in and out. Freedom in Christ. And what do we await right now? We await our promotion. We await for that time when we'll be in the Lord's presence. And it's not very long, because our life is like a vapor, Scripture says. It may seem long to us, but our life is like a vapor, beloved. And remember the stones made ready? We're stones made ready. We're being hewed to be ready to fit in the temple when we get home to be with the Lord. Oh my, beloved. So there's no lack for God's people. All we truly need is promised in Christ and confirmed by the blood of Christ. And He shed His precious blood for us. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Our salvation is all according to the riches of His grace. And the believer in Christ is rich in Christ. Rich. Remember that. We are far richer than the richest man in this world. Why? Because Jehovah is ours. And we are His. And He is ours because we are His. Think of this. We are so rich because His wisdom is our guide. The one who orders all the universe. The one who keeps everything going. The one who Scripture says all things consist by is our guide. He watches over us. We are rich because His fullness is our inheritance. Oh my. All that we have is from the riches of Christ. From the riches of Christ. And we are far richer than anyone else because of His mercy, which we've obtained. Which we've obtained. We didn't obtain it by our works. We obtained it by His mercy and grace. And by Him giving it to us. Oh my. And think of this. His love is our heaven. We're going to be with Christ in glory forever. And is it not a comfort to you who believe right now? And I ask you this because I know we're sheep of God. And when we start to ponder these wonderful truths, it just fills our hearts with joy. Does not thinking upon the love of Christ, the everlasting love of God, and knowing knowing who we were growing up, right? Knowing who we were in our teen years, knowing what we did, knowing where we went, knowing what was said. But to ponder that God's love was set upon us even when we were in that state, even when we were enemies in our minds by wicked works, His love was still set upon His people. I'm never going to get over that, beloved. And that can bring us such joy here on earth. That even when I was dead in trespasses and sins, yet He loved me. He loved me. Think of that. It's incredible. It's incredible. And all God's people who proclaim Christ, this is our standing. We are one in Christ. We are rich in Christ. Just think of having the Almighty God, Jehovah, the self-existent one, for your present, consisting, eternal friend. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. The person He laid down His life for are described as His friends. Now, by our natural birth, we looked in Colossians, we're enemies in our mind by our natural birth. But they were loved by Christ even when they were enemies in their own minds. Because His love is everlasting towards His people. And now we are His friends. Look at John chapter 15. It says, greater love hath no man than this. So no love, no matter how strong it is in this world, can even compare to the love which Christ has for His people. It doesn't even come close. And we know how we love our spouses, and we know how we love our children, we know how we love our family members, and we know how we love God's people. But it doesn't even come close to the love of God, to the love that Christ has for His people. Greater love hath no man than this. Look at this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Who did Christ lay down His life for? His sheep, right? His friends. Ye, this is the Master's words. Ye are My friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. Oh my gosh. This is God incarnate in the flesh saying this. For all things that I have heard of My Father, I have made known unto you. Who does He make known unto the things of the Father? His people. He doesn't make it known to everyone. But He reveals it to His people, doesn't He? We know that. Almighty God is the believer's constant, present, eternal friend. And they are now His friends because of Christ shedding His own precious blood. He's purchased them. He purchased us, beloved. He purchased His friends at Calvary's cross. And they are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And why may we just marvel. May we marvel at this. We know the Scripture said we were enemies in our minds, right? May we marvel at this. Grace turns enemies into friends. It turns enemies into friends. My goodness. We love our Savior. We who are born again. My goodness. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 68, verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19. Now remember, these enemies had shown no love for Him, no affection. But they were chosen of the Father in eternity. And they were given to Christ by the Father. And those who were enemies in their own minds towards Christ at His birth, and all those for whom Christ died at Calvary, will be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. All His people, all that the Father giveth Him, shall be born again by the Holy Spirit. And may we who are redeemed marvel that we are one of the number. May we just marvel. And let us ponder that the believer has the wealth of deity to supply and satisfy you as we are complete in Christ. And Brother John, we were talking about this verse this morning a little bit. We are complete in Christ and we are daily loaded down with benefits. Look at this. Psalm 68:19. Now just think of this. Daily, it says. We don't even know the benefits that we receive daily. Oh my goodness. His mercies are what? New every morning, aren't they? New every morning. And think of this. You have breath to breathe every morning. That's a benefit from the Lord. That's a benefit from the Lord. Oh my goodness. Blessed be the Lord who daily loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Daily loaded us down. Oh my goodness. What great rest the believer can find in Christ. And if you are born again by the Holy Spirit, if Christ is your rest, if Christ is your Savior and your Redeemer, this verse is true of you. Blessed be the Lord who daily loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. No truth is more clearly revealed in Scripture. No subject is more rich with comfort. Human strength may be exhausted. Health may decline. Courage may fail. Riches may flee. Friends may forsake. Enemies may increase. All circumstances may change for the worse, but for the believer, oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. We are rich in Christ. And those who seek the Lord do not lack any good thing. And this, of course, is speaking of spiritual things, right? I ask you who believe, do you lack anything spiritual? No, because we have everything in Christ. Everything. He's my redemption. He's my salvation. He's my all in all. Here, pilgrim, is your staff. Take it and travel home. Here, saint, is your medicine. Drink and forget your misery. Here, believer, is your fortune. Take it and live upon it while you reside here below. Here, fearful soul, is your cure. Use it to scatter your fears and cheer your fainting heart. And then verse 10 in our psalm says, the young lions do not lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Here is true wealth, and here is true comfort. Here is all that the sinner needs. All that the sinner needs for life, all that the sinner needs for death, and all that the sinner needs for eternity. Christ. Christ and Him alone. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 11. We'll close with this text. We'll close with the words of the Master. Are you laboring in your own self-righteousness? Are you laboring in religion, trying to gain merit and favor with God by your own works? Are you trusting in your own riches, which will bring you no rest, but only the only true rest is in Christ. Look at Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come unto me. There's the general call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, what rest the believer can find. What rest the believer can find in Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Oh, how much works-based religion is heavy labor. Heavy labor. But for the believer, we have rest. And I will give you rest. Rest. True rest is only found in Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. This is the God of the universe, the God-man, God incarnate in the flesh. Now, when Scripture says meek and lowly, think of that. He was in the glories of heaven. And angels were worshiping Him. And He left the glories of heaven to come to this earth, this sin-cursed earth, and to die for the sins of His people. Meek and lowly in heart, beloved. And He accomplished what He sought out to do. He cried, "It is finished." And because of that, ye shall find rest unto your soul. The only rest I have is in Christ and Him alone. And look at this. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Religion is heavy labor. But what freedom the believer has in Christ. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ, my Lord. I pray that if you don't know Him, that He grants you faith to believe if it's His will. Heavenly Father, we come before Thy throne in awe of Your provision for us, in awe of how rich we who believe are in Christ Jesus our Lord. And O Lord, You who were rich became poor for us. You left the glories and splendors of heaven to die upon Calvary's cross for the sins of Your people, that we might be rich. And O, how rich Your people are in You. O Lord Jesus, may we rest and trust in You, and may You teach us and guide us as we walk through this world and journey through this world. May You ever be our rest, our hope, and our comfort. We love Thee and praise Thee because You first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Won't you take your hymnals and turn with me to number 298, God Leads Us Along. Number 298, let's stand. Thank you.